This week's episode, A Boat Drives Itself, we take a look at our season finale show, and crew are required to have internet.
And this is the bottom line.
Oh, I think I do have more energy.
It's the caffeine that you're drinking, Doug. We're recording
what?
Recording the bottom line episode.
Hey everybody, 16. I'm Doug.
And I'm Chrissy.
And this is the bottom line. Welcome.
Welcome back.
Love you guys so much. We're really digging you.
Yeah.
All right, jump right in it. Let's go.
Well, we have our sponsors.
Which are?
Marine Data Solutions, Salty Rags Crew Apparel, and Savvy Maritime Yachting Academy.
Wow. Let me just put this all together. Marine Data Solutions, because I've got 99 problems on board.
And the internet's not one of them.
And Salty Rags Crew Apparel, because now that I got the data, I need uniforms. Where do I go? To Dave.
Salty Rags Crew Apparel.
Because he does extortion, murder, blackmail. No, he also does all that.
Swag. Some more.
But he's got a new crew lounge. Check it out.
Yep.
All right, bring your sleeping bag. Don't tell him I sent you, but you could probably crash there. And now you got uniforms and a way of putting your resume out. Where do you go next?
You go to Savvy Maritime Yachting.
Because you don't know anything. All right? So go to Savvy, and 8 weeks later, you go from zero to hero. You'll be a deckhand. They also have stewardess courses. They also have tender driving courses.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sometimes, you know what? Call him up. You want to go out on a boat Saturday. You go, can I get the Saturday tender driving course? Go out on the water. Have fun.
There you go.
All right. They also finance, so it's really a no-brainer. All right. Mm-hmm. Before we get into yacht industry news, I want you guys to look at our new promo because we are coming up on our season finale.
Crazy.
All right. And we took two tenders down from Fort Lauderdale to the Keys mm-hmm. to see which one was best. Check it out. Here we go.
Do we have some points for hitting any jet skis?
Yes, we do.
Okay, let's find out which one's faster.
This is insane. So it's hard, but I fell in love. It's brilliant. You know what else it's got? Skyhook. Like, I need to own that.
Isn't that cool? We get in a whole bunch of problems. We stop at Boca Chica. Yeah. We do boat racing. It's cool. All right. Yacht industry news. We need something. We need that wire thingy. Go.
Thingy.
Go.
Working. The caffeine has given an even worse ADHD. We are in a room full of models, and here comes a new toy. Where are you going to...
All right. Go ahead. Action.
Doug, we're still recording.
Oh, we are actually recording from the bottom line model room. It's really cool. Here, take a quick look at this.
Even more distractions.
That's cool. See all the models in the model room?
Why, thanks, Doug, for calling me a model. I appreciate that.
All right. So, yes, the model room and you're a model. Okay. What do we got? Yanish News. Let's go. Go. Go.
Here at the bottom line, we want to reemphasize the fact that we support the minimum of 150 day rates.
I thought that was a week.
Day.
If you work more, you should get more. Like another hour should be another $20. I'm going to tell you guys right now. There's a lot of hubbub going on in the Mediterranean because some people complain. Guess how much? 40 euros.
Ooh, that hurts.
40 euro for day workers. That's insane.
That's
I also got to tell you guys, there's a lot of people looking for work over in the Med. Usually when that happens, it filters back to the U.S. So things probably are getting back to normal crew manning-wise. So I think the U.S. should see that in about 6 months. It's usually what happens. Okay, go.
Now, seafarers now get mandatory internet access.
Wait a minute.
Finally.
Well, how can they watch the show without internet?
Oh, I know.
Okay, so have you ever heard of the Maritime Labor Organization? Have you? I have.
Maritime.
Okay, a seafarers group actually approached and successfully put in the Maritime Labor Organization's code that what is mandatory?
The internet access.
That's right. They actually said being able to stay in touch with friends and family is not just a nice thing to have. It's a necessity in this day and age. So now every ship on the planet has to have internet for their crew available to them. I'm surprised that they didn't have it before. They did lose a small part where now, even though you have internet, what do you got
to
do?
They might be able to charge you for it.
Yeah, they're going to charge you for it. And they said something reasonable. I don't know what's reasonable to have the internet in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. That could be $50 a minute. I don't know.
It could change.
All right. They also tackled a couple other items that they weren't so successful. What was that?
How to get you home.
Currently, according to the Maritime Labor Convention, they have to fly you back to your home state or country.
Country.
Yeah. Doesn't mean they have to fly you back to your home, which is kind of messed up. Basically, they used an example about the Philippines, because if they fly you into Manila, a lot of Filipinos probably could live up to 1,000 miles away from the Manila airport, and it was on their own nickel they had to get home. Currently, apparently, according to the regulations, to the code, they have to fly back to your country, not necessarily to your front door. That's kind of sucky. I mean, frankly, what's a couple extra bucks on a plane ticket? You know, I don't know.
I don't know.
So basically, if you live in Wisconsin, you know, they don't have to. They could fly to Fort Lauderdale. They fly to Washington State. They could fly anywhere. And all benefits stop when you land at that airport. That's the big thing. Yeah, that's kind of sucky.
That's rough.
They had another one too. What was that?
It was how long you are on the boat.
3 months.
Nope.
4 months.
Times 30. 12.
12. Okay. The current code calls for 12 months maximum that you can keep a seafarer on a ship before it's required you rotate them out. 12 months. That's 12 months of working every single day. That's insane.
That's a long time.
What were they shooting for?
11 months.
Come on, guys. It's just a month.
Give it to them.
Give them a month. They failed at that, too. Now, a lot of these things came up because of the cruise ship industry, where they all parked the ships off some island in the Bahamas and kept the crews on board, and they could not get off. So they were trying to reduce to 12 months, at least to 11. They tried to give these guys internet access. They did win that battle, but they did lose the battle about getting them home. Now, does this really pertain to yachting? We have cool owners in yachts. They're going to, what's another $50 we fly you back to where you came from? All right? And the internet, we all have the internet. Mm-hmm. You know, well, I don't charge my crew for internet. I should.
Not yet.
And then very rarely has anybody on a yacht worked 12 months straight without a day off. This pertains more to shipping. But a lot of people in yachting, you know, they quote the MLC. And so now you know that things have changed a little. Mm-hmm. All right, next.
Baby steps. We have a story about who needs a captain. An autonomous cargo ship.
I need a captain.
You are a captain.
I am a captain.
An autonomous cargo ship completes 500-mile voyage.
Around Tokyo. So what's the company called?
It is Orca AI.
Okay, Orca AI has stated that this is not to replace captains. This is a safety machine. It's cameras. Here's a photograph of the cameras that you mount on your ship. Mm-hmm. And I think it's pretty cool. Actually, now here, take a look at this video. This is the thing in action. And what it's doing is the screen is identifying. You can see it's identifying the markers and it's identifying that tugboat. And then you can see on this one where they're identifying a possible collision. I think this thing's pretty cool.
It is very cool.
It was 99% autonomous.
Where's that 1%?
What happened in 1%? Where somebody on the ship had to take over.
It's a crucial 1%.
Yeah. Again, they're not saying, okay, clear the bridge. No. You know, you don't have anything to do. They're saying that this is an aid. And frankly, there's a lot of yacht captains that could probably use this. All right?
None of you guys, because you won't.
Yeah, but listen, you know, wouldn't it be great if you could have a yacht and you guaranteed it it's not going to get into trouble?
That would be a nice guarantee.
I don't know. I just see pictures of one day sitting up on a bridge and this guy, what's his name? Orca?
AI,
call him Al. Al says,
Doug, I don't think we should be making that turn.
I don't want to argue with you, dude.
And he would override you.
And he would override me.
Controls and software.
This is another step in a total crewless boat, and I'm fine with that, too, because I'll go to control room every day, and I'll run the ship or the yacht, and I'll have screens everywhere, and you know what the crew have, they can text message me. Yeah, I'll go home every night after we anchor. Okay. Anyway, pretty cool stuff. Next.
Ooh, we're talking about how everyone is a YouTube star these days.
Oh, hello. I used to be in textiles. I was a regional manager, and I had a second career. Now I'm a captain. So here's my YouTube channel. Please watch. Please like and share. All right. Oh, God. And then it's like, and this is how we do it. And now you have to do it exactly the way I do it, because I have 3 years in the industry.
I know everything.
I'm making a lot of fun of this. Obviously, there's a certain TV show that has sprouted all this. And quite frankly, it's easy to grab your cell phone and start making a video.
Sure. Everyone.
Some are really boring. Some are really cool. Now, there's a guy called Country House Gent. He's running a narrow boat all through the canals of the UK. And I think that's super cool.
That's cool.
I think he's great. I watch him all the time. I'm not watching these guys where it's like, and this is how we tie up a boat, and this is how we do this. It's all great, and everybody wants to show how much they know. But my point is, there's a lot of information out there.
Yes.
When you guys are watching it, take it for what it's worth. Yes. Take a look at the person's background that are doing it. There's some very successful people doing this on YouTube based on their presentation and their flash, but maybe not so much substance. I'm going to leave it with this. It's not facts. You know, just take it. It's social media. Just kind of take that information and put it in your brain and store it.
Filter it out.
Filter out the good stuff and the bad stuff. Anyway, I think it's really cool. We don't do that, do we?
No, not at all. We're not on TikTok and YouTube.
No. Listen, I grin. I chug through Facebook, and what we do is we take hot topics every week because I search all week looking for it, and we talk about it. And frankly, you know, I don't care if you like or share us at all. All right. Anyway.
But like and share us.
But Georgia, I'm sorry. Please like and share. Okay, next.
Ooh, we're taking a look at the Lynx 30 tender, the new tender.
This thing's pretty cool. This thing's pretty cool. Take a look at this video. Mm-hmm. All right. So you can see it's got a bow ramp. It's got plenty of seating. It was actually designed by a Spanish design firm that the company built it was BYD for a guy who owns a 63 meter. I love it. I have a couple of problems with it. First of all, I love the bow ramp. You can see it going down on the island right there. And guess what? We all have that problem, like when you're trying to get somebody off the boat.
How do you do it?
I don't think it's probably good to tow. And one thing I can't figure out about this thing is, it's for a 63-meter yacht, and it only holds 10 people. I run a 35-meter yacht, and I'm constantly worried about the tender and how many people we can hold. And we hold 10, so we recently just got a tender, and I'm like, I told them, well, we have to hold 10. You can't say, well, we'll take 5 of you now and 5 later. All right, anyway, it's a really cool boat. I dig it. I love the fact that you can go on the beach with it. It saves so much, so much. All right, next.
Yes. Shouting out to our bottom feeders.
Bottom feeders? Okay, We need the shark. Shark! Okay, who do we got for bottom feeders this week?
Well, we have Captain Benjamin Fisher.
Okay, cool. Where's he from?
He is from Catamount, Massachusetts.
Okay, actually, Captain Benjamin, I think you're in the Caribbean. I did 17 seasons down there. I feel your pain. Hang in there. It's still cool. It's actually cool. The Caribbean is really cool for the first 5 seasons. After about season 7, I'm like, ugh. All right. Okay. Anyway, thanks for watching.
Thanks for watching.
He says, I love the show. As always, thanks for watching. We really appreciate it. Next.
Thank you. We have Regard Boyson.
We don't know where he's from, but he left a message. He says, y'all need to fix your audio. Okay. Here's the deal. Georgia is a real producer. She produced movies and directed movies and commercials and TV shows. And we're really happy to have her on board. Mm-hmm. But we don't know what the hell we're doing.
We don't know.
We have no clue. No clue whatsoever. No. So we're getting it wrong. She's schooling us. We'll get better on this.
We'll get right eventually.
Next.
60 episodes. Rob Wallace.
120 episodes.
60 in a row.
In a row. Okay, next.
Rob Wallace.
Okay, where's he from?
He is from Laguna Niguel, California.
Why does every town in California sound exotic?
Beautiful.
Oh, it does.
Rob,
thanks for watching. We don't know what you do, but you are listed on your Facebook page as a professional mariner, so I'm going to imagine it's yachts or sailboats or something, because there are a lot of sailboats, classic sailboats over in the West Coast. No?
I have no idea.
I don't know either. I'm going soon. All right. Anyway, Rob, really appreciate you watching. To all our bottom feeders, thank you so much.
Thanks for watching.
We do this for you guys. Mm-hmm. We're not doing this for the likes and shares. Georgia, I'm kidding. Okay, next.
Crew Corner.
Okay, who's sponsoring Crew Corner?
Crew Haven.
What's Crew Haven doing?
Well, they provide housing for the crew to get rest like the guests.
Don't forget, bouncy houses, giraffes, monkeys in butler suits, gold Rolls Royces. This is a no-brainer.
Nothing but the best.
But now, if you just want the room, because let's say you're going to Savvy, all right, after you went to Marine Day to get the data and Dave to get the uniforms, and now you're in school, they rent rooms.
They do.
Okay, a couple of things. All right, it's very normal to write your name on your food when you put it in the community fridge, because, you know, it's still going to be gone, but at least they know who they took it from.
So and they'll thank you.
They'll avoid you. Okay, anyway, check out crewhaven1501.com. They've been around since Columbus, 1501. Okay.
Something like that.
All right, next, where are we?
Oh,
wait, cue the cannon.
A cannon. caffeine is kicking in.
I think it is, really. It
totally is kicking in.
For real, I think it is.
I know. Take another sip. Let's do Crew Corner.
What do we got in Crew Corner?
Well, today in Crew Corner, we're talking about if you have a bigger license, who is in charge?
Okay. Old wives' tale. A lot of captains. I'm not talking about one or two. I see this all the time. All right? I'm not trying to be a YouTube channel, by the way. All right? I'm responding to people on Facebook. All right. Here's the deal. A lot of guys are saying, well, if I have the bigger license, then if I'm on the boat, then I'm in charge.
I got it.
Okay. This is an old wives' tale. This isn't true. Nobody should go on a boat thinking, now, I have a 1,600-ton license, and you have a 100-ton license. So, Cap, just step aside while I take the wheel. Ain't going to happen. People have actually made comments like, if something goes wrong, that you, because you have the biggest license on board, are going to be blamed. This could be no farther from the truth. Now, in an effort to prove it, I went to the CFRs. And there's nothing in the CFRs that says this, okay? It's hard to find something that doesn't exist. But I can but I can tell you this. According to the Coast Guard, CFR 15.605 says that every vessel, when required to have a license, must be under the command of an individual holding a license or a merchant mariner's document endorsed as master. When navigated, it has to be under the direction and the control of a credentialed master, pilot, or mate. What's that mean? That means you have to have a license. We all know that. It doesn't mean, and it doesn't say, you have to have the biggest license. It doesn't say that. If you did, it would say that. The guy in charge should have the biggest license on board. Now, I know that that's kind of wishy-washy, like every CFR ever made. So I'm going to take it one step farther. CFR 15.405 says, before you can take command of a vessel, you need to know all the relevant characteristics of the vessel, including the, your duties and responsibilities prior to assuming command. What's that mean? It says, navigation equipment, orientation on operation of firefighting and life-saving equipment, emergency duties, the general arrangement of the vessel, maneuvering characteristics. Now, if you take these two CFRs, there's no way on the planet that you, with your 1,600-ton license, can tell the 100-ton guy, step aside, I've got it. Because I don't care if you have a 1,600-ton license or an unlimited license. Y'all not qualified. Because until you have all those things, according to that CFR, you can't take command of that vessel legally. All right? I mean, you can't just walk on a yacht without knowing what your role of emergency duties are. That nulls you out right there. I don't know where this came from. I suspect that some schools teaching a captain's license might have led people to believe that. But there's absolutely no reason on the planet why you should think that because you have the bigger license, you're in charge. Now, to all the captains out there, if you have a 100-ton license, go ahead, hire the mate with a 500-ton license. There's no way he can take the boat over. Go ahead and hire whoever you want and feel completely comfortable knowing that nobody can step in and say, step aside. Y'all the captain. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a couple other reasons why this would never, ever, ever happen. The insurance company has a list of approved captains. If this guy's not on the approved captain's list, he can't be captain. It's that simple. All right? The owner has to hire the captain, has to appoint a captain. If you haven't been appointed by the owner, then y'all ain't the captain. All right? It's that simple. So for all you guys thinking that you can step on a ferry boat, I would love it. Wouldn't I step on a ferry boat and impress somebody? Hey, I'll take it across the harbor today, or step on a sport fishing boat. You know, I think I'll run it offshore today. You can't do it. So rest easy, you have the big license, but also rest easy knowing that you have absolutely no responsibilities on that boat whatsoever, and nobody's ever going to come back at you and say it was your fault. It's just an old wives' tale. Now, I'll leave you with this. I have this thing in my head where the cruise ship, something goes wrong on the cruise ship, everybody gets sick, and then over the PA system,
does anyone have a license or know how to drive the boat?
And then I'm running up to the bridge, and it's my time to shine. I have that dream all the time. I'll take the cruise ship back in. All right? I probably could. How hard could it be? Now, one more thing. If something does happen to the crew or the captain or something like that, please, in the effort of maintaining safety every board, and if you do have experience, volunteer. Hey, I'm a licensed captain. I can take this boat back in. But don't assume that you can. All right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm Doug.
And I'm Chris.
And that's Bottom Line. Do your thing.
Bye.